Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in to the Deen Show. And my next guest coming out was someone who was scratching the records and making you dance and giggle and just having a great time. He had three records out there and he was living without a purpose. He was chasing the money, chasing the wine, chasing the honeys, but now he's found purpose and we're going to benefit from his story because many of you are out there living without purpose. But you know something's missing because money can't fill that void. That woman or man, that house, that big mansion can't fill that void. And you can't buy a six pack of peace. Peace is something that comes from the owner of peace. So we're going to be talking about this with our next guest, the famous, fabulous, they call him the DJ, the scratch. I will get his DJ name when he comes back. We'll be right back with our special guest, former DJ here on The Deen Show.
This is
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam, sir.
Now tell us. Let me grab your hand. Now, did I say it right? They used to scratch.
Yeah, I think so. Like you scratch your head.
Did I say it right? Because I'm getting a little old. You know what I mean? So I'm not hip on these things. But when you used to scratch the records, some people might think tearing it up. That creates that sound, right? That the people used to like.
Yes, yes, sir.
So you used to make the people dance or get them to dance. You used to be the life of the party, and you know.
I was just involved. Yeah, I had myself and a good friend of mine, who's Muslim now too.
Yeah.
But it was through music that we found Islam too, which is interesting. And
now we did a show with you. Talking about your story, how you came to Islam, and
right.
We talk about some of these things, and that was back in the SD days,
right?
Standard
Dev. HD.
We're HD now, alhamdulillah, thank God. So let's briefly talk about, bring people up to speed. You used to be a former DJ, and we talk about these things because we really want to show people that we can connect with them. We've been there, done that, and some people are doing it right now, what many of us left
been
behind.
Been there, done it, and still sometimes doing it, right? In and out. I mean, I think it's a struggle that we go through. Islam is about struggle. Keeping that purpose is a struggle.
It's a jihad.
It's a jihad, man. It's a jihad. And yeah, I mean, I was involved in that DJing, and then I went to college. I did a degree in education and became Muslim my freshman year in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I became Muslim, I was lucky to have a West African teacher from Senegal, who actually I studied with for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I lived with him and studied with him for 10 years in Oklahoma, so I memorized the Quran with him. Because I felt like, as a convert to Islam, like the purpose of life, the handbook is the Quran. When I was a Christian, I wanted to memorize, you know, Proverbs in the Old Testament, because I felt like that's all the wisdom. When I became Muslim, you know, my teacher was like, عَلَيْكَ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ, you know, start with the Quran. So. In like 2.5 years, you know, I memorized the Quran in Arabic with him.
MashaAllah.
And then continued to study. And I didn't even want to become an imam. Like, I didn't have that intention. I was just a convert who wanted to learn and practice what I learned. My degree was in education. I love to teach kids. And then got hired as an imam and then studied in Egypt for 7 years and just kind of came back.
But how do you go from turning, scratching the records, and you're, I mean, obviously this is happening in nightclubs, and you got the women like, hey, DJ, play that song. And you're making money and you're living a dream. You know what I mean? So how do you go from that?
And this was before I was 18 years old. I mean, I had three albums out when I was in high school.
Yeah, three records out.
Yeah, and
so you're getting paid, you're making money. You know, you got your celebrity status in the nightclub.
I wasn't making enough money, but there was some local fame that was definitely a precursor to, you know, I'd been offered a chance to move to New York and work with Warner Brothers at that time and really launch. And my father, because my father is dear to me, as a professor, and he was like, no, get an education.
Yeah.
And really came out of a middle class background, but went to an inner city high school to play basketball. So I had kind of like this duality in my life. And then came out of it not really satisfied internally. So even though all that was happening and potentially happening, you know, I played for some A&R people and so on and so forth to get a record contract, but I just wasn't happy. And I realized that my happiness was beyond this world. Mm-hmm. There was something else that I wanted out of life besides fame. You know, I've been there where I made six figures, mm-hmm. you know, when I was very young. And the only thing I got out of it was a big tax bill. Mm-hmm. And it was weird. The more money that I made, like the poorer I became. It's hard to explain. The more responsibilities that money brought me. Mm-hmm. I'm not encouraging anyone not to make money. I think money is very important, right? As the Prophet mentioned, the hand that's on the top is better than the hand at the bottom.
Yeah.
But I was just a lesson that I learned from myself. Mm-hmm. And realizing that ultimately defining who I was for me was going to be God-centered. Mm-hmm. And not club-centered, not girl-centered, not drug-centered, not money-centered.
Yeah.
And that's what caused me to make that move.
But how about now? I mean, as soon as you, and most people, I mean, I know people that have been, you know, in the car with their friends late at night, and they're telling, looking at each other, you know, and they're picking out what burrito place to go to, the nightclub's over, and they look at each other and like, you know what, we got to change. But many of them, they don't move towards change. But now, as soon as you bring up, you know, religion, it's not the cool thing. You start talking about these more important questions, it's like you get kind of labeled, black labeled, you know. So how did you go through this? Now you want to get more serious in your life, more spiritual, and now your friends, they start looking at you different. So how could we change that perception?
Well, I think it was also a very different era, yeah. Right? The early 90s, when I was involved in these kind of, I guess, hipster culture type things or whatever. The early 90s was still very spiritual in many ways. Mm-hmm. A lot of the hip hop artists were, of course, not perfect. But no one's perfect. Mm-hmm. But there was a very strong social message like Public Enemy. There was a strong spiritual message. People like Tribe Called Quest, Rakim, even like outside of hip hop, right? So there was people that I was DJing for who were Muslim. People that I used to smoke weed with, unfortunately, were Muslim. Mm-hmm. Like the conversation in the car, I had that with my best friend who was Muslim. We were like high as a kite listening to Dr. Dre.
So what I'm talking about right now, that happened to us.
He's dead now, may Allah forgive him. But that was really the first conversation I had. I'm not encouraging anyone to go smoke marijuana, it's in the car. But that was just what Allah gave me.
So you're relating to the story. That's what people are.
That was me.
That
happened all the time.
Yeah, okay, but I wasn't talking about you.
No.
Yeah.
And you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right. That wasn't a setup. So it was through those human interactions, you know, with Daryl in particular, Allah yarhamu, that I was like, don't you hate white people? Don't you believe Muhammad is a god? Why do you treat women like crap? Why do you kill people? I mean, this is the guy that I smoke weed with and listen to music, John Coltrane, Miles Davis, Nirvana, right? But he's still a vehicle. Allah has used him as a router for me to get near Allah. So that was a very profound experience. I was 16, 17 years old having conversations about who Allah is in a car smoking weed with a guy at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And he was a Muslim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we all have our struggles, man. Yeah. Allah forgive him.
I mean,
but Allah used him to guide me. Every good I do now, he gets it.
Yeah.
Because he's the person who led me to Islam.
And you're living purpose now.
Yeah.
Are you happy now?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Can you, when you compare, we almost got to go to break, but now, what is it? Is it like day and night compared to back then?
Yeah, I mean, there were good things that happened then as well. I don't think you should throw the baby out with the bathwater, but definitely, I mean, just having purpose and feeling that you're here for something greater is just invaluable.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more of our special guests here on The Dean Show.
The Apple of Macintosh dazzled the world. It was invented by Steve Jobs. But who invented the apple we eat? The stethoscope. It was invented by the French physician René Laennec in 1818. But who created the ear in which we hear everything? The calculator was invented by the Frenchman Blaise Pascal in 1639. Who created the human brain, which equals 1 million of advanced calculators working at the same time? The electric light bulb, which we turn to lighten a room. It was invented by Thomas Edison in 1879. So, who created the self-illuminating sun, which radiates the whole world? The plane. It was invented by Wilbur Wright in 1903. But who invented the systems in birds that enable them to fly long distances? He is Allah, the creator of everything. Look for him. You will find him. KnowingAllah.com.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, let me ask you another common question that people, when you bring up religion, people say, look, I don't want to follow any organized religion, okay? So have you heard this? Were you one of those also that, you know, you just, okay, I'm a man of science. Religions are man-made. I don't want to follow them. Religions are the cause of all wars. And now the door is closed.
Well, rationalism and Newtonian science has taken us to a really dark woods. You know, what has science given the soul? So science can tell us what should make us happy, but it can't answer why people aren't happy, you know, except out of like a psychosis. You see people have mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Why wasn't Michael Jackson happy? Guy had an elephant in his backyard, man. A freaking elephant in his backyard. He had like a pet monkey, Bubbles, you know? And I'm not making fun of him, I'm just saying like he had everything he wanted.
All. Everything, yeah.
But he had nothing at the same time spiritually. He was still, and he seemed to be Man in a Mirror is a very spiritual driven song.
Yes.
Right? So, and that's not, and you see Muslims who are rich beyond their wildest dreams. And they're not happy. And you see poor people who aren't happy too. But the point is that means that it's not that. Science can't answer that question, right? Spirituality is the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hearts. Allah ya'lam ma fi sudur. Allah mm-hmm. knows what's in our hearts. So I would say if you reject organized religion, then you're adopting your own disorganized religion. Mm-hmm. Right? Because what other language do you have? Then it becomes very self-centered. You know, I have my own belief. Mm-hmm. I feel. Then what's the difference between you and someone who feels like doing something explicitly evil? It's both rooted in selfishness. And that's the beauty of Islam, because Islam starts from the point of I have to admit that I need to submit. I need to humble myself. The best fruit grows on the lowest part of the tree. Right? But we're in a society now where we're told our rationale, right, our sense of keenness and intelligence, right, which is important, right, is ultimately the decider on what makes us happy. Mm-hmm. And that's not true, because if we were all given what we wanted, this world would be hell on earth. Mm-hmm. I'd take everything you had right now. And you'd probably take everything I had. I'm just saying if that was the case, we'd be carnivorous beasts.
Yes.
Then secondly, the absence of admitting that I don't know things. So how could I follow myself to the truth when I know I lie? You understand what I'm trying to say here? Yeah. Like, I know that I'm not perfect, so then how could I lead myself to a perfect being, perfect God? So that's just a logical fallacy. And it's rooted in, really, it's a cop-out, and then because people don't want to be responsible. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, it's and God knows there might be people who are truthful in that too, but I'm just saying, I see it as a cop-out, and I see, secondly, it's very selfish.
Let's talk about, common sense, because that's really all you need to come to the conclusion of this way of life that we live. If anyone takes an academic, scientific, rational approach, and uses the common sense that the Creator has given us, they'll see that this way of life, Islam, is truly from the Creator. And before we get into it more, Let's talk about the common sense of just purpose. Things, you know, nothing that we see around us usually is purposeless. It's with a purpose. But what about us as human beings? The keys in our pockets have a purpose. What about us?
Yeah, is there anything out there that doesn't have purpose? And if you buy something and it loses its purpose, what happens to it?
Garbage.
Right. And that's why the hadith of the Prophet in Sahih Muslim, the prophetic tradition, where the Prophet would say, you know, teachings to us, when he said that, you know, when God's name is no longer mentioned, the hereafter starts. When the dhikr of Allah is no longer made, then the end of times will begin, because we've lost our purpose. Our purpose is to worship God. So when he's no longer mentioned, that means humanity has lost its purpose. And when you lose your purpose, or when something loses its purpose, we do what with it? We cast it out. Right? So as Muslims, we believe that our purpose, the illah, the reason that we're here, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because God needs us to worship him. No, because he blessed us to exist. Right? And if people doubt the value of existence, there's that Justin Timberlake movie where you have to pay to live. It's a really interesting movie where you actually like have to pay to keep your life. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how we have like calling, like phone cards where you pay to talk?
Yeah.
It's like there'll become a time we have to pay to breathe, like you have to pay to live, right? Mm-hmm. We actually pay to talk to people now, right? We call people, right? So that in itself tells you the value of life. Imagine if I had to, like there's a calling card for every single word I ever said. There's an Eddie Murphy movie, 1,000 words or something, right? Mm-hmm. So that shows you that we have value. There's a purpose, a great purpose for humanity, mm-hmm. right? And when we're not given a purpose, we like to party, man.
Yeah.
You know, in 1957, there was an article in Life magazine called The Problem of Leisure, that American culture is going to lose its deep Protestant roots, which are rooted in building the society, you know, the WPA, creating a culture. Now it's, man, let's just kick it, man.
Yeah.
Let's just chill. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's a problem. And we share that with other religions. Other religions also have this idea of, you know, you're here for a reason.
Yeah.
It's not just chaos.
Now, you also went from being a former DJ with the records and that to, you knew the Bible quite well. You were Christian. So someone says who's out there, you know, our brothers in humanity, you know, we want the best for everybody. They say, look, I am worshiping God. I'm worshiping Jesus. The one who we love is one of the mightiest messengers of God. So what if someone says this to you?
I wasn't a Bible scholar. I was just a kid who went to church, man, and, you know, memorized scripture and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Exposed. My grandfather was a preacher. But I would say to them that, you know, our response would be, it's great that you have a faith. Right? We're in the age now where faith is on the endangered species list.
Yeah.
However, we don't believe that that's the true faith. Mm-hmm. As Muslims, respectfully. That doesn't mean we can't live together.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, some people don't do a good job of that with our tradition and other traditions, right? But Jesus died, dude. Jesus slept. He ate. He used the restroom. So he exhibited qualities of creation, not the creator, right? So we believe that whatever should be worshipped, the object of worship, which is Allah, la ilaha illallah, is the one who fulfills the qualities of being the one who's worshipped. So number mm-hmm. one is that he has no beginning. He has no end, right? He has no needs. Jesus had needs. He cried and he wept. Who did he pray to in the Bible? Himself? He prayed to someone, right? That the Creator is one in his essence, in his attributes, and his actions, because he doesn't need anyone else. Like, those are the qualities that we should look for in a Creator, man. So it's impossible for us to believe that we should worship something that has the qualities of creation. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible.
I'm going to ask you a little bit more about this when we come back. These qualities that the Creator should have, and that's the Creator that we should worship. It should make sense. It should be logical. We'll be right back with more here on The Deen Show.
please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, we're talking about the qualities of the Creator. You mentioned that Jesus, according to the Christians, he died. So that means if you're saying that Jesus is God, that he's
even resurrection would be take you out of being God.
Yeah, he ate, he slept, he prayed. Right. You mentioned something when we met years back that if the Creator became a man, that he would have a nationality, speak a language. He would.
Definitely. I mean, once you turn the Creator into creation, then there becomes this race war, and that opens up another problem. And then how could that Creator be the Creator of all? If he exhibits, and that's why, for example, Jesus wasn't white. But when you go to most churches in the West, Jesus looks like, you know, he looks like Richard Marx.
Yeah.
He looks like, I don't think anyone knows who Richard Marx is. He looks like, you know, he looks like Ben Stiller. Mm.
The pictures that they portray.
Yeah, because they want to portray God as them, yeah. Right? That's the sick, subtle kind of Freudian slip there. Mm-hmm. You go to, like, you know, the Vato Locos or like the Barrio, and I'm not saying that to disrespect anyone's culture. Yeah. Jesus becomes like, you know, Ricky Martin.
Yeah.
You go, you know, to the African-American community, Jesus looks like Usher. So I'm just saying, like, everyone is portraying Christ as themselves, although it's described that he was a man of dark olive skin, he had nappy hair. You know, that Klan member could never have really had the image of Christ as described in the Bible in his church because he was persecuting and killing that image, mm-hmm. right? That's that dichotomy. Mm-hmm. So we believe that God, number one, they're basically, he exists, al-wujud, right? Because if he didn't exist, we wouldn't exist. Number two, he has no beginning. He has no ending, right? Number three, he's one. We say one, we mean one, and he's not one of 800 or one of three. He's one, right? In his attributes, he's one. He doesn't share. And no one is like God's mercy. When people say, you know, how could a killer be forgiven by God? Exactly, because his mercy is transcendent. It's not like our mercy. Mm-hmm. Third are the things that he does. Creation, right? The next is that qiyamun bi nafs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no needs. Al-samad, samadi in Quran. The one who provides and doesn't need anything from anybody and provides without being forced to, right, or obliged to. That's why we say even the guidance that you and I have, every Muslim out there who's Muslim, you're Muslim because God blessed you to be Muslim, not because he had to make you Muslim. That's why hidayah means gift, hadiyah in Arabic. It's a gift that's put in the heart. It's the same word, mm-hmm. right? And then we say that huwa subhanahu wa ta'ala, after being free of all needs and wants, is the absolute rich who can provide us for whatever we need. So there's like other things. And the opposites would be impossible. He doesn't exist. He has a beginning. He has an ending. And most important, that he's like his creation. We say he's not like his creation. Creation is not like him. And that's why we would say you're worshiping an entity that has the qualities of creation. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, it was only momentarily. Well, momentarily made him like creation. Mm-hmm. Momentarily is a created thing. God is not momentary. God was, is, and will be. As it said in the Bible, the Alpha and the Omega. That means in every way. So when we say that God momentarily became a man, just the word momentarily makes him creation. And we have a problem with that.
How about Son of God? You hear this a lot. Say, no, we believe that he was the Son of God.
I have a theory about that. I'm not a scholar of the Hebrew language, but you know, there's other places in the Bible where people called sons of God. And my understanding is that Son of God is what's called idafa to tashrif in Semitic languages, meaning that you would say that to someone as, like, we say the masjid is the Beit of Allah, the house of God. Is the masjid really the house of God? Mm-hmm. Why do we say it? To show honor, to show its closeness, right? So Son of God was used, like David said, you are sons of God in the Psalms, right? Be, O children, sons of God. Jesus is quoted as saying that, peace be upon them, in the Bible. So the idea here is that you're not literally the Son of God, but figuratively, you're so close to him, it's like you're part of a family. And that's one of the arguments I would say. But definitely it's not ever been understood, except later on, after Christians, 150 years or so, 100 years after Christ, the idea of Christ being God and people, him being the literal Son of God, came into play, and that was, of course, adopted later on, by the leadership of that empire, and then they forced that. There were a million Christian creeds until that time. Mm-hmm. Right? So I would say, I have a theory on it, that Son of God is idafatu tashrif.
Yeah.
That it's an honorable possessive. Mm-hmm. Like we say, you are the servant of God. Am I really a servant of God? No. It's to show honor.
I've heard also that this when you go back to the Semitic languages, that it was mistranslated, actually meant slave of God. And they messed up.
I haven't looked at research. That would be interesting. Yeah. That would be interesting.
How about someone, before we come to an end now, someone says, look, but I believe, this is what I've been taught, that he died for my sins. And where do I go now? You're telling me that, something totally opposite what I was raised my whole life.
You go to Allah, right? We believe Allah is Ghaffar, the forgiving. And you go to the creator of Jesus and ask him to forgive you. Go to the God that Jesus prayed to in the Mount of Olives. They said he prayed until he sweat blood. It's a figurative usage, right? And that's the challenge of translation. People forget that there's a figurative usage. They say he prayed till he sweat blood. I doubt it was literal, right? Mm-hmm. But who was he praying to? Himself? So I would say, go to God, the creator of all, and ask for his forgiveness. Because if God needs someone to barter with you for your forgiveness, then that means he's like us. Again, the quality of him not being like us and we're not like him is violated, because now he needs an intermediary to forgive you. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's problematic.
Before we go now, can they start? Give them something that they can start with. Can they start right now, no matter what they've done in the past, to reach out, to call upon? Look, as a former Christian, the Lord's Prayer. I think this is really similar to what we have in the Quran. It's
right.
You don't see anywhere in here telling you to call on a middleman. It's all about praise to the Creator.
Right. I would say the first chapter of the Quran is the ultimate prayer.
Yeah.
I would encourage people to keep following your show. Mm-hmm. I have a website, suhaibweb.com. That's a lot of articles written by converts who've become scholars.
Yeah.
Twitter and Facebook, mm-hmm. I'm there, you're there.
Yeah.
But I really think starting with the Quran, that's what I did. I found a copy of the Quran, I hid it in the restroom, I didn't know it was supposed to be in the restroom, I was scared of my parents.
Yeah.
And I just read the Quran for 3 years.
Yeah.
This is all I did. Uh-huh. And I just read it and I was like, this is the truth, man.
That's it.
Yeah.
And start in themselves, they don't have to give God a name, just say, my creator, the one who created me, guide me.
Yeah, of course.
They can start saying
God knows, God's not petty.
Yeah.
All these languages were created by God.
Uh-huh. Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
started
sir.
With peace. We end with peace.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
And thank you for tuning into the Dean Show. So take this small advice, but yes, priceless. Start asking the one who created you to guide you and really start to put time aside to really reflect about the purpose of life and ask the owner of life to guide you. Continue to tune into the Dean Show and reflect. Reflect upon the destroyer of all pleasures, death. You know, so many people have died while we're filming this show. You know, young people die, old people die. Take a trip to the cemetery, you see, and they leave everything behind. So all the money, all of the cars, all of the things that you deem important, at the end, you leave it behind. And then if you lived only for this life and then you die, what did you do to prepare for the next life? Think about that. Really think about it. And don't forget to follow us on the Twitter, like us on the Facebook, keep up with all of our shows. And until next time, peace be with you.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.